Here we are again. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. And as always, I just feel so much gratitude that we're pausing to join and to dive into this incredible, incredible work. Let's begin with a brief period of meditation. So just bringing our attention, being willing to bring our attention from without to within. And whatever might be happening around us, whatever sounds, even whatever thoughts are on the surface of the mind, let's imagine that everything on the outside, out there in the world around us, is like clouds. And as we close our eyes and turn within, there's more clouds. There are those thoughts that might be like that monkey mind, that busy mind, anything that we might typically label as a distraction. Right now it's just clouds, because clouds can't stop us from going where we choose to go. So if you can just imagine your attention turning within, cutting through any of that meaningless mind chatter, that monkey mind, that busy, active mind. We're just cutting straight through that because it's just clouds. And we're bringing our attention to that which radiates eternally in every single one of us. Here is the truth. Here is who really are. And it's by connecting like we do every Sunday night that we strengthen our awareness of this blazing love within. It's always there and it's always strong, but we just choose to get distracted by the clouds. So as we just touch this deep, deep part of our mind, offering everything to Holy Spirit, offering our willingness, our beliefs, our perceptions, offering all the clouds, because we want to know the truth. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So we're going to finish out a section before we dive into the next section. If you have the CE, please go to page 915, paragraph 16. It begins with the sentence, "You will make many concepts of the self." In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 31, part 5, paragraph 16. Again, it begins with the sentence, "You will make many concepts of the self." That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, chapter 31, part 5, paragraph 58. And Sparkle edition, page 717, second full paragraph on the page. You know, before we start reading, I just want to say something that's bubbling up in my heart, because before the recording began, one of our participants was just sharing how she just finished the book, White Fragility. And we've been talking about race and racism here and there, and I actually have something that I'll add when we get to the next section. But I just feel so incredibly inspired by those who are willing to look at this really difficult stuff, because what it feels like to me is a perception arising that's still obviously in the realm of form, but it's a perception arising that's been hidden. And in being willing to see it, then, you know, we know what to do as miracle workers with turning to spirit. We have tools, obviously, that we can use. So there will be, I think I share this with you all, but the really exciting project that I'm involved in involves three other women, and the four of us will be coming together to talk specifically about racism and A Course in Miracles, and it's going to be incredible. So I will keep you posted. We're meeting on Tuesday to kind of still figure out, you know, when this is going to start, but I will for sure let all of you know. It's going to be a really, really beautiful opportunity for all of us. So having said that, let's start reading. So we're going to finish these two paragraphs of this section. We've been in the section, I think, for like a month. It's been like 3 weeks or a month, and I thought we'd finish it last week, but we had other sharing to do. So let's read. I'm actually just going to finish this. So I'm just going to read these two paragraphs, and then I'll say a few words. You'll make many concepts of the self as learning goes along. Each one will show the changes in your own relationships as your perception of yourself is changed. There will be some confusion every time there is a shift, but be you thankful that the learning of the world is loosening its grasp upon your mind. And be you sure and happy in the confidence that it will go at last and leave your mind at peace. The role of the accuser will appear in many places and in many forms, and each will seem to be accusing you. But have no fear, it will not be undone. The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by, and you will see you know not what you are. It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of the self have been laid by, is truth revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question, and been recognized as made of no assumptions that withstand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt. There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself. Yet in this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself. And that concludes section 5. So we start out in the initial paragraph that we just read, looking at how we will make many concepts of the self as our learning continues. And we can think about just how our different self-concepts have changed over time. When we were younger, we were a son or a daughter, or, you know, primarily identified in whatever family we had that we grew up with, whether it was biological or chosen. And our concepts of ourself has changed. For me, I've gone from being, you know, a daughter and a sister, adding on the role of student, adding on the role, the concept of wife, of teacher, of speaker, of all these things. And you can think about this for yourself as well, all the different labels that we've added to our concept of the self. And these things are part of our learning. There's nothing, you know, inherently wrong with them. This is just what we do. But they change over time as our perception of ourself is changed. And concepts of the self all have to go. They're all not who we really are. Every concept can be stripped away. Now, this can be terrifying for, I would think it would be terrifying for people who don't have any kind of spiritual grounding to begin with. I think of, you know, the athlete who loses the ability to walk. Let's say they have, you know, a limb amputated or something like that, and their whole self-concept goes, and, you know, what is it that they're left with? Here we're learning. We're learning through the Course how to let go of all these self-concepts to let the truth reveal itself to us, because what we are, what each of us is way beyond a concept. It is not changeable. Now, on a deep level, there's going to be some confusion. It says there's going to be some confusion every time there's a shift, but be you thankful that the learning of the world is loosening its grasp upon your mind. You know, I'll share something really personal. I didn't plan on sharing this, but it's bubbling up. After I wrote my open letter, and there was a number of other things going on, like lots of synchronicities, and something within me, I felt something that I could not put words to, but I felt something shifting, something in my concept of myself maybe falling away or loosening or something. And there were times where I felt like almost a little, not disorientation in a scary way. I was never scared, never anxious, nothing like that. But how it says there will be some confusion every time there's a shift, I related to that. I felt a little like, what's going on here? And having continued down this road, like I just mentioned before, with this collaboration that's coming together, it's as if this new consciousness is being birthed, and I just had to get out of the way. So I wanted to just throw that out there, because sometimes we might feel like we're going through some type of shift, and there might not be any logical reason why, but I think that that's accurate. If you sense that in yourself, I think something is shifting, and it doesn't mean that you have to have words to describe it. And we come through that, and what we are left with is peace. I also want to just highlight in the second paragraph that we read, I cannot tell you, well, I actually can tell you, because you've heard me share for a number of weeks now a couple of examples where I was getting blamey with my husband, like pointing the finger at him for, you know, being with another couple, and it's COVID, and he's like rubbing his eyes and putting his fingers in his mouth without washing his hands first, and you heard that in the past couple calls. This prayer at the end, and I know I've emphasized this already, but I just have to emphasize it again. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself. This is still just so striking to me that this is even leading us to release where we think we are. We really don't know who we truly are, but we can be willing to be taught. And who we truly are, again, is beneath all of these self-concepts. It's beneath the face of innocence that we have read about in this section for a couple weeks now. It's beneath all of that. So I just have been using this prayer a lot. I absolutely love it. Before I begin the next section, let's just pause there, and I want to see if anybody has any questions or comments. You can hear from a couple people if you have something you'd like to share.
Hi, Corinne. This is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
I just wondered if the masterclass that you are going to do or you're doing, is that the same as what you're doing with the other women with the racism? Is that the masterclass?
No, it's different. Nope, two different things.
And then is there a limit to how many people can do the masterclass at the same time?
No, nope. There won't be a limit. Anybody who wants to sign up, you know, will be able to sign up when that time comes. So I don't have a time frame or a date yet for either of them, but I will definitely let you all know because I'm so excited about both of them. Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you.
Hi, Corinne. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
So I had one of those aha moments. You were talking about, you know, the athlete who loses identity, and he talks about a lot of, like, roles that are very defined. But then I was thinking of even the way we view ourselves. So, like, I take these classes and, the mean girl is annoyed with me. So I see myself as, like, now I have to kind of tread carefully. So not even just, like, a role. I'm not pigeonholed into any role, but even the way I'm behaving, that I'm identifying with that as the who of who I am. And so when you were talking about that, I felt like, oh, let me let that go. I'm not somebody who has to try to manipulate or work my way around this or tippy-toe, and that felt really good.
That's awesome, Nikki, and you're spot on. That's it. It's how we think about ourselves. It's, you know, Corinne being trying to be, like, nice or trying to, you know, Corinne the people pleaser, whatever, however it is that we think about ourselves is what we are laying as a block to the awareness of who we really are. So it can all be forgiven. It can all be handed over. So that's awesome that you had that connection, Nikki. Thank you for sharing.
Now when you said that, and I was thinking about, I just said, you know, like the mean girl, I can't quite see that yet, how to not identify her, but I know it goes with our last section we were doing, which is about judging our other people, so hopefully it's going to all come together now.
It will, and you know what? We can't figure it out ourselves. This is where we get so tempted to try to do it alone, and we can't. It's always through the Holy Spirit, and it's always through our willingness to let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit's thing. So our tiny little part is to be willing. The Course says that the ego finds it insulting that we're asked to do so little, but we're constantly trying to get in there and do Holy Spirit's job for it, which is just the self-concept trying to stay intact. It's just the ego trying to, you know, finagle its way back in without us recognizing it, without us seeing it. So it really is about recognizing that we can't figure it out ourselves, but we can stay in this open space of willingness and of willingness to be taught.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have one more comment before we read the next section?
I would just like to say, you know, I retired last year, and I was the thing that was kind of bothering me talk about these self-concepts is the idea that I was a technical illustrator, and the idea that when I no longer have that position, that would that rattle me? Would that upset me? Mm-hmm. And just realizing that thought, I worked with the Holy Spirit on this. You know, take that thought. That is a meaningless thought. I'm giving it power. Take it. Corinne, I have not had a problem since I retired. But I think that, if anything, I could care less. But I think that's, it's just so important to take a look at those thoughts, you know, that seem so important, those labels we place on ourselves that just seem, oh, my God, what will happen if I'm, give it to the Holy Spirit. And it's just miraculous that it's taken.
It is. I remember, Paula, just for a long time you were talking about, you know, thinking about retiring, and just that's just such an incredibly beautiful example of just how effortless the healing can be, that you offered that idea of, you know, that identity. You offered that identity to Holy Spirit, and it just fell away, and you've been happily retired since then.
I love it.
So
there were so many things. I had so much fear around retirement, and every time it would pop up in a different way, it was like, here you are. I'm giving this to you, Holy Spirit.
Oh,
it's a big
beautiful
help.
Okay. Thank you, Paula. I love your examples. Love it, love it. So let's begin the next section. So we are reading, it's called Recognizing the Spirit. And it is, that is the subtitle in all of the editions. Hooray. I love it when things match. So, Recognizing the Spirit. And by the way, just a reminder for anybody maybe who is new, that I'm reading from the CE. So if you have a different edition, there might be different paragraph breaks. I'm glancing ahead, and it looks like they're pretty much they're gonna be a little out of sync later on, but that's why. All right, recognizing the Spirit. You see the flesh or recognize the Spirit. There is no compromise between the two. If one is real, the other must be false. For what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true. On this one choice does all your world depend. For here you have established what you are as flesh or spirit in your own belief. If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality. For you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless. I'm loving this. I love this section. So, all right, a few things are arising to mind that I want to highlight. And actually, I'll start with, so this is the point that I wanted to make as we were talking about racism before. This first sentence, you see the flesh or you recognize the spirit, there is no compromise between the two. And that's the truth. The problem is that we pick and choose what we apply that to. So what I have experienced, I mean, I'm sure, I'm going to speak for myself. I used to do this. So you see the flesh or recognize the spirit. So this is me however long ago, getting involved with, you know, anything with racism is of the world. It's seeing the flesh. So I'm not going to go there. That's what I would do. But I'm hungry, so I'm going to go eat lunch. See, we pick or choose. We can apply that statement to some things, but we're still in a body with other things. So this is where I come back to, we always have to be where we are. This is not real, but we have made it real for ourselves. And it is true that we see the flesh or recognize the spirit, but we can't be the one to see, to recognize the spirit. Again, it's that tiny thing that we're asked to do, which is to be willing. So the Holy Spirit recognizes the spirit, like the Holy Spirit through us recognizes the spirit in others. We of ourselves, Corinne, is not the one recognizing the spirit. So if my small s self is the one trying to be spiritual, trying to recognize the spirit, I'm going to fall flat on my bum and probably be a little stagnant with the course. I felt that way for quite some time. We can't just pick and choose. It's all got to go, all of it. Or if we think any part of it's real, you know, we've made it real. So this is where this isn't an intellectual feat. I remember someone years ago saying, like, you know, it was back when I had when I was part of the Miracle Share website, and it was a long, long time ago, and I remember somebody saying that, like, you just have to deny it. Like, you just have to ignore things that are happening because they're not real. And even back then, that you know, triggered something in me, and I was like, no, I don't think that that's the way, because by just denying something, we're making it real. Instead, it's about repurposing, giving it to spirit, and letting the truth, as it said in the last section, tell us of itself. So there are a few other things I wanted to highlight about this. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true. On this one choice does all your world depend, for here you have established what you are as flesh or spirit in your own belief. If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you've chosen that you want it so. But choose spirit. Okay, so there's that tiny three-letter word that shows up often in the Course, and it's the word for, F-O-R. If we go to page 90 in the FIP edition or page 229, Paula, I wrote it down. It's now on a post-it on my wall. it's the prayer, I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. It ends with the sentence. Let me just open it up so I get it exactly right. It says, it ends with a sentence, allowing him, allowing Holy Spirit to decide for God for me. So Corinne isn't even the one who, like, wholly decides for God. I'm deciding for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is deciding for God for me. So that makes it way easier in my experience, that it's my choice to let the Holy Spirit decide for God for me. So coming back to this paragraph that we just read, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to choose Spirit for me. So in a sense, I am choosing Spirit, but it's just important to keep in mind that it's not our small self, you know, that can make that choice. It's something in us that we access. And through that, again, that's where we see the world of flesh no more, not through our own small will, but through the Holy Spirit's vision. But I love how it says, can I just highlight one more thing before I open it up? I'm going to read this last sentence one more time. But choose the Spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless. Are you just healing and comforting and blessing yourself? No. This is about healing and comforting and blessing your brother. So this is where miracle working comes in, that we might be accessing the Christ, seeing the Christ as we look out from Spirit in us to Spirit in others. And our purpose here is not just to find peace for ourselves. Our purpose here is to come to that peace, to know that peace and that joy for ourselves, and to extend it, because that's how we keep it when we share it with others. I just said a lot. Anybody want to chime in?
Hi, Corinne. This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I think I'm on speaker. Is that okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Oh, okay. When you were talking, well, first of all, the whole time you've been reading tonight, I've been thinking of this book that I spoke about at the very beginning, White Fragility. Mm-hmm. And this last sentence that you just read, well, it talks about your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, I haven't arrived, like you haven't arrived, like no one's arrived. But it's really very, it's helping me to see things in a different way and to know that the reason for me, I feel that I'm able to see things in a different way is to help the healing occur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. And that's why we do this work. That's absolutely why we do this work. We're not just in this for our own peace of mind. That's part of it, for sure. But we keep that by giving it, by extending it, by healing and comforting and blessing, by giving, to give and to receive are one in truth. So giving is how we keep. So thank you for that, Carol. I am with you.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah.
Anybody else want to chime in before we read paragraph 2? We have time for one more person if anybody wants to share something. Let's keep reading. So the second paragraph. Salvation is undoing. If you choose to see the body, you behold a world of separation, unrelated things, and happenings that make no sense at all. This one appears and disappears in death. That one is doomed to suffering and loss. And no one is exactly as he was an instant previous, nor will he be the same as he is now an instant hence. Who could have trust where so much change is seen? For who is worthy if he be but dust? Salvation is undoing all of this. And constancy arises in the sight of those whose eyes salvation has released from looking on the cost of keeping guilt because they chose to let it go instead. I love that. Constancy arises in the sight of those whose eyes salvation has released from looking on the cost of keeping guilt because they chose to let it go instead. So there is, again, like a choice point of, do I want to keep the guilt or do I want to let it go? This is where even, I'm sorry, I'm like getting so fired up, but like having the grounding of A Course in Miracles and then diving into, for those of us in white bodies, the anti-racism readings and whatever form it is that we are called to do, I feel like having the course is just so critical because there is a very, I think part of the reason why some folks in white bodies freak out is because it triggers the guilt. You know, we feel the guilt that like we're reading these things, but how can this be? It triggers guilt. And those of us who are studying the course, who are recognizing that the guilt is of the ego, that the guilt will be used to try to keep this all going and keep it in place. We can see it for what it is and recognize that we can look at what we're learning with Holy Spirit without taking on that guilt personally. So starting just at the beginning of this paragraph, salvation is undoing. If you choose to see the body, you behold a world of separation. We've already chosen to see the body, right? I mean, that began just by coming here, and I don't think we can unchoose to see the body of our small self. Again, we can be willing, and we can let Holy Spirit do that invisible thing where we turn to Spirit, Spirit chooses God for us, and the body becomes experientially less identified with, less solid, less dense, and that's happening not because of any kind of intellectual feat.
Would you say that's an ongoing process as
for
long
sure.
as in this body?
For
yeah.
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely an ongoing process. I mean, the times that I thought like I got somewhere were really just like plateaus with A Course in Miracles. Like I remember there was a time period where I just felt like, okay, you know, handing things over to Spirit, reading, doing my lesson, this is fine. Like, you know, nothing. They felt like plateaus. They literally felt like plateaus. And I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know if I should be doing something else or not. I had to wait for guidance, wait to be, you know, shown what to do next. But we can always go deeper. And that's why I just am also so passionate about being willing to loosen what we think A Course in Miracles says, because that has gotten in my way. If I think I know what it says, I'm not going to hear something deeper. You know, I'm not going to let something deeper come through. If I'm resonating with what it says and think I get it, great, but I can still hold that loosely. I can still say, Holy Spirit, you know, keep showing me. Like, I still give my interpretations to you, because what we think it says can be a block to hearing something even deeper. So, Paula, that was my lengthy response to your question.
No, but that's a great point. That is a great point you made. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
I got to keep that in mind.
Yes. Yeah, that's really been big for me lately. It's been part of my learning. Let's read paragraph number 3.
Can I chime in real quick before you move on?
Sure. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I'm so glad that you just said that, because that has been something I've been thinking about a lot lately, about not making up your mind of what you think that the Course means by any particular part, and just being open to maybe having your understanding evolve. And that is something that I kind of opened my eyes to in the last couple of weeks, and I'm just so glad that you brought it up. So thanks.
Thank you for sharing that, Cheryl. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I mean, just one quick example of that is in myself being very stuck on the definition of a miracle being a shift in perception, which it is, but there's also the definition that it's an expression of love. And I feel like for a long time I ignored the expression of love component, which is like so key to being a miracle worker, you know, loving our brother, extending that love. So anyway, next paragraph. For me, it's paragraph number 3. Ooh, this is good. Salvation does not ask that you behold the spirit and perceive the body not. It merely asks that this should be your choice. For you can see the body without help, but do not understand how to behold a world apart from it. It is your world salvation will undo and let you see another world your eyes could never find. Be not concerned how this could ever be. You do not understand how what you see arose to meet your sight, for if you did, it would be gone. The veil of ignorance is drawn across the evil and the good, and must be passed that both may disappear, so that perception finds no hiding place. I just am getting so excited over this paragraph. So this paragraph says, this is in alignment with what we've been saying, that we can't not perceive the body. We can do that with no help. It says that in a sentence that we just read. So salvation does not ask that you behold the spirit and perceive the body not. So salvation is not asking us to not perceive the body. It merely asks that this should be your choice. So in other words, another way of saying that is, I am willing to behold the spirit. I am willing to not perceive the body. And it's the Holy Spirit in us as our judgments and our defenses fall, and our grip on, you know, what we think releases, as that grip loosens, what arises in our awareness, as it said at the end of the last section, what you are will tell you of itself. We simply should wish to make the choice to behold the spirit and something else that is outside of the ring of fear, outside of the fearful ego thought system, is ready to reveal itself to us. It goes on to just talk about how we don't understand to behold a world apart from the body. It's this world that we're in that salvation would undo to let us see another world our eyes could never find. And this is where I just also want to emphasize, I haven't said this in a while, but I have said it before. I used to be terrified that if I aced A Course in Miracles, that I was going to die, that I was going to get whiffed away. And I now see that that's, number one, so not the case. Number two, we don't lose anything. There's an exchange. So it's like, it's not that this world is just undone and you're left with nothing. In the process of releasing the world, you have experiences of being shown that there is a very real other world that is here. And that's, you know, I mean, the real world is a stepping stone to what lies beyond that. But it goes on to say in this paragraph, we don't have to be concerned with how this all happens. We don't understand anything. And I love this last sentence, how it says that everything has got to go. The veil of ignorance is drawn across the evil and the good, that both may disappear and that perception finds no hiding place. So all of perception is an error. But as you know, we can repurpose our perception to see with Holy Spirit's vision before we grow back to knowledge, so to speak. Did somebody want to chime in? I was just hearing a little bit of sound. We'll pause here. So anybody have a comment or a question? Sounds like we're good. Let's read the next paragraph. How is this done? And by the way, this is where I think in the FIP edition, this is still mid-paragraph. How is this done? It is not done at all. What could there be within the universe that God created that must still be done? And what could be before you still to do? Only in arrogance could you conceive that you must make the way to heaven plain. The means are given you by which to see the world that will replace the one you made. I want to read that one more time. The means are given you by which to see the world that will replace the one you made. Your will be done. In heaven as on earth, this is forever true. It matters not where you believe you are or what you think the truth about yourself must really be. It makes no difference what you look upon or what you choose to feel or think or wish. For God himself hath said, thy will be done, and it is done to you accordingly. So usually we hear thy will be done and we think about that being, you know, God, thy will be done. This is saying your will be done. And our will is to know the truth. That is our true will. And that's when it says that your will and God's will are the same. It is our will to be at home. It's the ego using its own little will that can come up with ideas to the contrary. But I underlined this sentence. Only in arrogance could you conceive that you must make the way to heaven plain. I go back to actually the little prayer that we read at the end of the last section. I don't know this thing I am. Therefore, I don't know what I'm doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or myself. So I don't know how to make the way to heaven plain. I don't know how to get there. But there's something in us that knows the way, and it's that something in us that's been given us to turn to and to rely on. I think that's all I'm going to say. Actually, I'll just highlight, there is a footnote in the CE next to thy will be done. And it's quoting the Bible. It says in the above reference, rather than us saying this to God, God says it to us. We doubt that if we choose vision, we will then actually gain vision. But God himself hath said, thy will be done. So again, it's that tiny willingness that we have, and that just opens the door for remembering our wholeness and our truth. Any comments or questions?
Corinne, I have a question.
Sure. Who's this?
This is Wendy. I'm new.
Hi, Wendy. Oh,
hi.
Sweet. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay. So I have the Foundation for Inner Peace manual, and it says in here, for God himself has said, your will be done. And I guess in what you read, it said, for God himself thy will be done.
Right, so, right. I'm seeing that.
Right. So is that saying the same thing or saying the opposite thing?
Yeah, no, I think it's saying the same thing. It's just, I think in the FIP, they edited it to be a little bit clearer. So God himself has said, thy will be done, meaning your will be done. And that's exactly what it says in the FIP, your will be done. So I think they're
okay.
saying the same
thing. I always thought that thy will be done meant God's will be done for some reason.
That's how we typically think of it in this. In this paragraph, it's referring, it's like re-attributing that sentence rather than thy being God, thy is us, our will be done. So, yeah,
right.
Using
thank
it differently.
You.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you for, actually,
right.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Sure. Thank you.
It's fun sometimes to see the differences in editing. Oh, thank you, Wendy. Anybody else want to chime in?
I have a comment on that one because
sure.
It's Jim.
Who's this?
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
Jim. Yeah, from Georgia. We haven't been on in a long
Hello,
time.
Hello, Jim. Oh, I'm glad you're back.
And thank you very much. It that statement, you know, in terms of the difference between the, you know, thy will or my will, whatever, kind of goes back to that question. What could there be within the universe that God created that must still be done? Question mark.
Mm.
That's our pause.
Mm. I love that. That's a great connection. Did you want to expand on that?
No, I think that's actually, I just like to sit in the question on that one because the answer is that I need to just relax because sometimes my ego takes over and thinks that I need to do something.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're highlighting this because I can relate and I'm sure other people can very much relate to what you just said. So, yes to that. I think we need to all pause at that question. What could there be within the universe that God created that must still be done? And you know, Jim, I will share too that one of the gifts that I've had come out of this summer and really come out of quarantine and everything happening has been to really slow down, to really pause and to really just rest in God, just to like sit in my backyard with a chicken on my lap and just be with God. So that's a really great reminder, and just thank you for bringing my mind back to that the resting, the being with, just being fully present and not scrolling through our phones or just wasting time on social media, but just being completely present. What else needs to be done? Thank you for that, Jim. That was really helpful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh.
This coronavirus time has given us all an opportunity to pause for that.
Mm-hmm. It sure has. In a big way.
The whole planet.
And this is where I can't the whole planet. And this is where I can't help but feel, I mean, there's not been a shared experience worldwide that I can think of in my lifetime. And this has been a shared experience. Like, this has affected every single person on the planet. So it's been a big opportunity for all of us. We have a couple minutes left. Let's read one more paragraph. Actually, I'll see how much I'll read because there's not much left in this section. You who believe that you can choose to see the Son of God as you would have him be, forget not that no concept of yourself will stand against the truth of what you are. Undoing truth would be impossible, but concepts are not difficult to change. One vision, clearly seen, that does not fit the picture as it was perceived before, will change the world for eyes that learn to see. I'm going to read that one more time. I feel like I paused at the wrong time. One vision, clearly seen, that does not fit the picture as it was perceived before will change the world for eyes that learn to see, because the concept of the self has changed. Are you, I'm going to just keep going. Are you invulnerable? Then the world is harmless in your sight. Do you forgive? Then is the world forgiving, for you have forgiven it its trespasses, and so it looks on you with eyes that see as yours. Are you a body? So is all the world perceived as treacherous and out to kill. Are you a spirit, deathless, and without the without the promise of corruption and the stain of sin upon you? So is the world seen as stable, fully worthy of your trust, a happy place to rest in for a while, where nothing need be feared, but only loved. Who is unwelcome to the kind in heart? And what could hurt the truly innocent? Thy will be done, you holy child of God. It does not matter if you think you are in earth or heaven. What your Father wills for you can never change. The truth in you remains as radiant as a star, as pure as light, as innocent as love itself. And you are worthy that your will be done. Ah. So we just finished out another section. So no matter where we think we are, if we think we're a body, if we think we're in the world, which I do every day, most moments of the day, anywhere that we think of ourselves, any way that we think of ourselves, truth is still true. Whatever we think of ourselves does not change the truth. Concepts easily change. The truth is just changeless. So I love how it says it doesn't matter if you think you're in the world. It doesn't matter where you think you are, if you're in earth or heaven. The truth is true and nothing else is true. And through our willingness, we are coming to learn this. I love, too, in the CE edition, it's paragraph 6. Are you invulnerable? Then the world is harmless in your sight. Do you forgive? Then is the world forgiving? This reflects the law of perception that we read about in the last section. It says it's perception's law that what you see reflects the state of the perceiver's mind. So as we do our forgiveness work, as we turn to spirit, as we are willing to see the truth and the innocence, as we are willing to extend love as miracle workers and bless and heal and comfort, that's what gets reflected back to us. That's what we see. Perception is a mirror and not a fact. And so it's never the world out there doing anything to us. It always, always comes back to the mind and being where we are. We think we're in bodies, and so doing the work of forgiveness that's given us to do. And I'll just read the last two sentences one more time. The truth in you remains as radiant as a star, as pure as light, as innocent as love itself. And you are worthy that your will be done. Amen to that, right? Oh, we have like a minute left. Anybody want to chime in real quick?
Amen.
Amen. Amen is right. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for joining together. I really, really appreciate this time with you, and it just fills my heart, and it just absolutely fills my heart. So thank you for being here, and I look forward to connecting again in a week. I love you all.
Love you,
good night.
We love you. Good night.
Thank you, Corinne.
Love you.
Thank you, everyone. Love all of you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye, everybody.
Love you. That was beautiful.
Love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
he said